land. We thank you for heaven. But before we get to heaven, we have so much to learn and so much to do. Father, we thank you for being here with us. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for giving us guidance and direction. We thank you for giving us strength. We thank you for the privilege to praise you and to love you and give all adoration unto you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for fellowship. We thank you that we have the privilege and God-given ability to encourage people and mean it, to love them where they are and whatever they're at. Not to be judgmental, not to criticize, but to see through the eyes of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Loving and forgiving, being compassionate and showing mercy. Father, I pray this morning as we continue talking about Christians in the combat zone. And we as Christians will truly be in the combat zone. We are in there because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we are very, very hated of Satan for that. We are hated of people of certain kind for that. So I pray that you will give us the perspective that we need to live in the combat zone. That you will give us the endurance and the perseverance that is needed, the stickability and stability. That you will make us strong in the Word of God. That we will go forward at all times, in all situations, facing every challenge and opportunity as you would have us do. For we are here to give our lives to you completely. We are here to be 100% dependent upon you in every scene of life. Because every scene of life, you tell us, has eternal consequences. And we will all stand as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will answer for our lives. Did we live by divine persuasion or did we live by human persuasion? Help us to live by divine persuasion that your will be carried out. And that we will grow in Christ's likeness. At all times, in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice the title of your printout. If Plan A fails, what about Plan B? Well, what if Plan B fails? Do you go to Plan C? And what if Plan C fails? Then do you go to Plan Z? I learned something while sitting in that chair a moment ago. And I thanked the Lord for it very quietly while everyone was singing. How many plans does God have for you?
One.
And what have we done with a lot of opportunities and a lot of challenges in our Christian life? Have we walked away from Plan A that is God's plan, thinking that there is a better plan? What was said to me just a while ago is this. Terry, if you walk away from God's plan and His strategy, then you are walking away from God's power and God's strategy. And the power that He wants to reveal to you, He wants to let you know that He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. He is all-sufficient. So to walk away from Plan A, and I am learning that God really only has one plan.
Amen.
So to walk away from Plan A that God gives us in our situations and adversities in life is to walk away from the power of Almighty God. And I don't want to do that. Because His power can do what I can't. His power is overwhelming. He is the power that has already conquered every enemy that I will face in my life. And so to walk away from plan A is really to walk away from the power of God and to walk away from the strategy of God. You're walking away from divine persuasion. And I've lived long enough to know that divine persuasion is way better than human persuasion. Because my intellect is limited. My strength is limited. But I serve the living God, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who is unlimited in every way. So if plan A fails, what about plan B? Let's begin with the introduction. Notice when Timothy was in trouble, Paul did not say, "My son, go to plan B." Have you ever found it easier to go to plan B when something didn't work just right in plan A? So notice when Timothy was in trouble, and we've been there, Paul didn't say, "My son, go to plan B." Paul also did not say, "My son, resign your church in Ephesus and put out your resume for another pastorate." What did Paul say to Timothy? Stay right there in the midst of your conflict. You might want to make a note, because it's in the midst of the conflict that God has allowed to come into your life that you're going to learn His power and you're going to learn about His strategy. And grab hold of God's power. Underline those two words, God's power. And make this little note, if you will. Your strength is not your own. Your human strength is not adequate. It is not sufficient. We're talking about God's power, which is a divine gift because it comes from Him. So to live the Christian life, it takes supernatural power. Not human persuasion, but divine persuasion. So he says, grab hold of God's power that is a divine gift, a power that is unlimited, a power that is always available, a power that is freely made. Underline freely made, that refers to a grace gift. So I'm not born with this. It is a grace gift. It is given to me. It is available to me the moment I become a child of the living God. Underline that word available, if you will. The word available means accessible for use. So the power of God is laid before me. The power of God is available to me. God's not going to make me use that power, but He says, here it is. And I'm holding it in my hands as a grace gift. I wish you would take it, because I can't wait to make my power, God says, available to you. I can't wait to make my strategy, how we're going to work things out together in this conflict, this adversity, this hardship that you are in at the moment. Back to the printout. Number one, we must face this fact. If God has called us to do something, and He has, no matter what the assignment is, there will be times when hell's forces come against us. And sometimes we are tempted to say, we've had enough. Get somebody else to do the job. I've had all I'm going to take. Point one, number one. So we must get ready to experience a few tough moments. So here's the question. How do I, as a child of God, get ready to face Satan and his demonic forces? How do I get ready to experience a few tough moments in my life that are going to happen if I am a true child of God living by the word of the living God? I'm going to have to do what? Get a Bible. And when you get that Bible, Then ask the Holy Spirit, where do I need to start reading? What is it that you need to make available to me at the moment? Set the perspective that I need in my life at this moment. What do I need to see and how do I need to see it? So we must get ready to experience a few tough moments that are going to come when we want to desert the original plan that God gave us. Is Satan going to tempt you and I from time to time to desert the original plan that God wants us in? If God wants us in a specific plan, I promise you He wants to reveal something to you about Him, about yourself. In that plan, He wants you to grow in Christian maturity and grow in Christ likeness. How are you going to grow when you're always wanting to step out of the plan that God has set before you, that God has placed you in, the plan that He knows you need to be in at the moment in order for you to grow in your Christianity? So we must get ready to experience a few tough moments when we want to desert the original plan that God gave us because it seems too difficult to fulfill. Why would I think what God has given me is too difficult to fulfill? Because human persuasion takes over. And human persuasion, no matter what it thinks about something or how it sees something, is going to see it or think about it in a very limited way. But when I have the right perspective that has been set by the Word of the living God, I'm going to see it through the eyes of God and the knowledge of His Word. And every time I look at something that God has set me in order to fulfill what is going to glorify Him and grow me in Christ's likeness. Let's go back. So we must get ready to experience a few tough moments when we want to desert the original plan that God gave us because it seems too difficult to fulfill. Make a note, if you will. Nothing is ever too difficult to fulfill when God is in charge. In that moment, we may want to pursue plan B or even plan E. Number two, but settle it where? Within yourselves. You know what? Say there's a hardship in your life at this moment. Say you're going through some great difficulty. There's some adversity. There are some things that are happening that you did not expect in your walk of life in the Christian way. But notice he says, settle it within yourself. I can talk to you, but do you really know my situation? Do you know what I'm going through at the moment? And do you know what God wants me to get out of what I'm going through at the moment? Probably not. So the best thing you can do is pray to the living God, the one who knew you from eternity past, the one who knew that from eternity past everything that was going to happen in your life and everything that was going to happen in your life, He provided for in eternity past before anything existed. And some people say, I'll argue that with you, Brother Terry. We'll just jump on the wagon and get after it. Because the Bible says that God is all-knowing. And if God is all-knowing, and He is, there has never been a moment that He did not know. So in eternity past, He knew you. He knew when you would be saved. He knew every conflict, every adversity, every hardship you would go through. And He has a plan for everything that will take place in your life. So don't walk away from the plan, because when you do, you're walking away from the power of God. And you're walking away from the strategy of God. And you're walking away from that supernatural perspective that God has in everything. But settle it within. I can talk to 50 people and get 50 opinions. But when I go to God, I'm going to get exactly what I need. And He's going to tell me what I need to hear and how to carry it out. But settle it within yourself right now. You will always encounter some form of opposition as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have opportunities and temptations to bail out, sometimes on a daily basis. Therefore, it's vital that we learn. Underline the word learn, that we learn by study or by experience how to open our hearts to God and allow Him to give us His supernatural strength. I'm going to say it again, and I will probably say it a few more times before we close. The Christian life must be lived in the supernatural strength of Almighty God. It is a supernatural life. Salvation is supernatural. It has come from the living God. So therefore, I say to the Christian, God, give me, please, the supernatural strength that is made available to me, the child of God, that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the question, number one. What will empower us to stay in the fight, to keep running the race, and to hold on to the call He first gave us? Here's the answer. God's supernatural strength. My friends, Christians are falling right and left. Why? Because they're trying to live the Christian life by human persuasion and disregard the Word of the living God. And they do not know that everything in the Christian life is supernatural. You know what? Is God supernatural? Yes. Is your salvation supernatural? Yes. Did it come by way of a supernatural death on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago? Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full, and thank God for that. So when it's time to be saved, the issue is not sin. Sin has been paid for. The issue is turning your unbelief into belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The only thing that will keep you out of heaven is unbelief in Jesus Christ. And that's biblical. All right. It takes God's supernatural transforming power, and it belongs to us, the children of the Lord, we that are in Christ, the anointed one of God. Now notice the title here at the bottom of the page, page one. It says, getting close to other combat zone fighters. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Here we go. Paul continues his message to young Timothy, saying, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses, a great number of witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men. He did not say something that is very important. Listen to this. Notice Paul emphasizes faithfulness and not ability. Somebody says, I have the ability in church to do this, and I have the ability to do that. Do you find that in this scripture? Paul says, I am looking for faithful men and women that are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, that are loyal to the Word of the living God, that are willing to get under the authority of Almighty God. Why is it so important? Why is faith better than ability? Because if you have faith, you're going to seek God in everything that the church is going to do. And if you have faith, then you're going to trust God and have confidence in God, and you're going to do things not by human persuasion, but by divine persuasion. Because the church is about having faith in God, not the ability of mankind. Amen? Thank you so much. The same commit thou to who? Faithful men, not men with ability, but men that will stand their ground and stand and honor the Word of the living God and be faithful and loyal unto Him in all situations. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Underline this phrase, teach others also. What is that? It is the ministry of multiplication. It is the ministry of multiplication. You are not supposed to keep God and His Word and the Christian life to yourself. What am I doing up here? I'm not talking just to Terry. I'm talking to everybody to establish a ministry of multiplication so that you hear the Word of God, you get under the Word of God, you get the perspective of Almighty God, and then you start witnessing the Word of Almighty God and passing it on and watch it multiply among people more and more and more. All right, now, I've got something you don't have. I'm going to my notebook, okay? 2 Timothy 2:2. Now, let's exegete this. Just listen very carefully. Look at the word heard. What did he say? And the things that thou hast heard of me, the Apostle Paul, pass on what you have heard me say, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the word heard. The word heard in the Greek refers to the word of God. You're familiar with that. You're comfortable with it. The word heard, he says, you've heard the word of God. The word of God is spiritual truth. It is the voice of God. It is the voice of God, the Word of God, that imparts or birth. B-I-R-T-H-S. I wish you would write that down somewhere. We're going to go right to it again. Listen closely. What you have heard, what did you hear, young Timothy? The Word of God. What did you hear, young Timothy? You heard the Word of God, and the Word of God is spiritual truth. It is the voice of God that imparts or births, B-I-R-T-H-S. When a woman gives birth to a child, she's bringing the child into existence. Is that correct? Now keep that in mind. To birth something is to bring it into existence. Here we go. What does he bring into existence? The Word of God brings into existence, when accepted and is obedient to, faith. What is faith? What is going to get birthed in you because you are willing to come under the authority of the Word of God? So what is that going to birth in you? Trust and confidence and divine persuasion in you as a child of the living God. And it comes by the Word of God. So the Word of God received and obeyed is going to birth faith on the inside of you, child of God. All right? True spirituality. True spirituality involves hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd in each scene of life. Being receptive to the Lord's voice, spiritual hearing, prompts him to birth faith, trust, confidence, divine persuasion, which happens through the Rhema word from Christ. Now, what is the Rhema word? Here it is right here. Rhema. A Rhema word is a verse or portion of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention. I'm going to stop there. If I'm not studying the Word of God, and if the Scripture is not in me, will the Holy Spirit bring up Scripture if I have not been in it? If I'm not in the Word of God, so what does He have to draw from? Does he have a bucket full of Scripture to draw from? Or does he have an empty bucket? There is no Scripture with which to draw from. Does that make sense to you? Okay, here we go. A Rhema is a verse or portion of Scripture that the Holy Spirit is in you now that you're a Christian, that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention with application to a current situation or need for direction. Ephesians 5:18, how important it is here. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled, be motivated, be divinely persuaded by who? By the Holy Spirit. And what is He going to use to persuade you? All right, the Word of the living God. All right, now, here's Romans 10:17. So faith Underline the word faith or just write it down. What is faith? It is God giving persuasion about what pleases Him. I cannot please God unless I am first persuaded by God to want to please Him, to go in the direction of pleasing Him. So faith comes from hearing. Here's hearing. Here's how you define it. Spiritual hearing that discerns God's voice. Hearing God's voice, then, is key to living in faith. I'll repeat that. Hearing God's voice is key to living in faith, trust, confidence, and by divine persuasion. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Now write down faith-wisdom, if you will. Faith-wisdom. So what is faith-wisdom? Here's the definition of faith-wisdom. Faith-wisdom grasps God's solutions found in the Word of God. I have faith. I trust God. I have faith. I have confidence in God. I trust God. I'm living by divine persuasion, not human intelligence, because it is so limited. So therefore, what am I going to do? I am going to grasp God's solutions because I have faith to deal with specific challenges or opportunities. Here we go. By His power and strategy. Here's a question. What is wisdom? It is God showing you and me as Christians how He wants us to handle challenges and opportunities. Secondly, under the second question. So wisdom results from hearing from God. All right? Got a little more. Just be patient. Here's the word commit. You can go back and look at that verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. Look at the word commit. Very important. The word commit is a Greek aorist imperative. You know what that means? It means get this done as soon as possible. Get involved in the ministry of multiplication as soon as you can. Here's some more. Present or give over to another as a trust. What am I to do with the Word of God? Give it over to you. And what am I giving over to you? It is a trust of tremendous responsibility. Now look at the word faithful. You ought to know by now the word faithful means trusting God, having confidence in God, living by an inworked divine persuasion. Being faithful is being loyal to His Word. Now look at the word men. Now women, don't get excited here, because we're not just talking about men. The word in the Greek is men and women. Men and women are all involved in this ministry of multiplication. Then look at the word able. The word able means competent, sufficient, through faith to meet the need at hand. And this competency, and I looked that word up, Becky, comes by faith. Now look at what it says. Able to teach the written Word of God. Colossians 3:16, please listen closely. Let the Word of Christ dwell within you, the child of God, with what? With all wisdom teaching. Every child of God is to sit under biblical teaching. Teaching the Word of the living God. So somewhere down the road in your life, probably unexpected, God's going to call you to be a teacher of God's Word in the local assembly that you are attending. So maybe God has you in plan A, Jeff. And He's saying, you know, I'm getting Jeff ready to teach. And he already does that. I know it is a good job. And you know what? Jeff's got to stay in plan A, because God says, I don't have a plan B. In plan A, He's going to empower him to teach. He's going to understand how God's strategies are going to work as God, as what? As Jeff teaches the Word of the living God to his pupils. Back to the printout. Now, let's go to the top of page 2. Notice the word of. Tom, it's not a big word, is it? You can say that one. Okay. O-F. O-F, the word of. When you look it up in the Greek, here's what it means. It carries the ideal of partnership. So who is Paul speaking to? Timothy. Are they partners? Yes. Are they intimate partners? Absolutely. The word carries the ideal of partnership, a side-by-side relationship, or a very close relationship. This close relationship was the reason Paul could say, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine that was given to him, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." Here we go in 2 Timothy again. Paul continues by saying in a different manner, "And the things you have learned of me by intimate relationship, the same commit to" who? "Faithful men and women." The word ability is not there. He's saying, I don't want an intellectual structure here. I want teachers that live by faith, that will study by faith, and deliver the word of God by faith, by trust, and confidence in Him. I want teachers who will pray on Sunday morning, "Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the faith that is needed to teach the word of the living God, so the power of the word will bring about change in the message this morning. And all that are listening, you know everything they're going through right now." Is that correct?
Yes.
So Heavenly Father, I'm not here on an intellectual survey. I am here by faith in you, delivering a word that is faithful to do what God wishes to do in the service that morning. Paul said, "Timothy, you know what I have done for you. Now you get back out there and do the same for others." Question number one, why is Paul saying all this to Timothy? A, Timothy had selected people for leadership positions before, and it seems that much of his congregation had forsaken him. Timothy had once already felt many had stabbed him in the back. When a person has been betrayed or abandoned by others in the past, it can be terrifying to think about becoming vulnerable and putting one's trust in people again. God's challenge to Timothy: lay hold of God's grace and receive the supply of divine power needed to forge ahead. Timothy needed to find his new God-assigned team with whom he could come alongside and mentor the way Paul had mentored him. Timothy could say, "I've had the intellectuals. I've had men that come up to me and said, I have the ability to do what you need done." But they were not stable. They had no stickability. And they'd leave at the drop of a hat. He says, "I'm looking for the Christian who will live by faith, because I know that we can walk side by side having things in common. And when something comes up in the church, you won't see a hand go up saying, you know what, I've got the ability to take care of that." What? Your way? Did you not notice this is not your house? This is the house of God. We do things His way. One more thing that dawned on me. If I will stay in God's plan, plan A, then Terry Davis will begin to cease to exist. Isn't that what God wants? You know why we run from plan A to plan B? We get out of divine persuasion. We step into plan B. That's human persuasion. And we can take over. We can do what we feels best. How can you say, I'm doing what I feel best in the plan that God has put you in? It's not about me. It's not about I. It's not about you. It's all about me being emptied of myself so God can have a child of God that will say, I'm here 100%. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are who? Those that are 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. And that's what he's trying to get out of my life. 100% of Jesus in me and zero of Terry Davis. Will you pray? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the big stuff and I thank you for the little stuff that you reveal. I thank you for letting us know that if we'll stay in your plan, how can we go wrong? We can't. But I've got to get over myself and I've got to get over this in my life. I'm not here to run my life. I'm here to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ 100%. So if I run out of plan A, I'm running away from the power of God and the strategy of God to bring about poorness in the life of me. I don't know about you, but the longer God lets me live, the longer I realize I need more of him and less of me. I would rather do his work by his power and his strategy and him be glorified and people receive and experience the supernatural transforming power of Almighty God. Because that's the only thing that's going to carry you through your Christian life. Most of you would say, Terry, I got you. For I left plan A a long time ago. And I've been struggling ever since. Well, you don't have to. Because Jesus says, I'm here to give you everything you need to stay in plan A. So you and I can work and have an intimate relationship in everything you'll face in your life. For you are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.